how to calculate the Meiser. Okay, and again, whenever we say that there's an argument over here, you can assume that we go to the more lenient side. We come at everything in this parak for sure. Okay, first of all, it's a good idea to have a separate account for Meiser. One of the reasons is that when you don't have to take the money out of your pocket, it's in a separate account, and you know it's not yours, easier to give the tzedakah like that. And secondly, because there is a sheet that holds that giving exactly a tenth and making all the calculations is a much bigger mitzvah, and there's much more tzichus than even giving more, but giving by estimation. So it's good to have a clear cheshbon, to keep a record. If you're not that organized, right, and you don't want to keep a organized record, then there is an opinion that says that if you end up giving more by estimation, it's just as good. So again, it's good to have a separate account because it makes it easier to give the Meiser. The Tzelzer Rav Shiva says that's why when you give Meiser Behema, it doesn't explain why it doesn't work by other Meiser. Meiser Behema is something you can see in front of you. You have to take, what's it called, you know, one-tenth of all your livestock and give it away, you know, to make it a carbon, so it's a big deal. So therefore, the Torah said to do it like this. You count each one. One for me, two for me, three for me, eight for me, nine for me, and one, that's a carbon. So that way, it's easier to give, right? When you see how many you're getting for yourself, and then, okay, so one will give away. But if you have all your animals and you take out a certain percentage, you have 100 animals, you take out 10 for a carbon, it's harder to do that. Same thing over here. If you have a separate account, you're already off the top, separate. Every time you make a profit or whatever, you take off 10% and put it in that account. And then give from that account, so you have two milers. One is easier to give like that. And secondly, you're keeping an exact accounting of what comes in and what goes out. It's, according to some opinions, much more schar like that. When you give the exact miser, even if you give more by estimation, it's better to give exact.
Why can't you just keep track exact? Why does it?
Well, that's what we're talking about.
Be estimated without a separate account.
Like, oh, yeah, you can do. You can do one of those two. Yeah, it's not that because that you keep track also. Oh. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now, how often do you have to make this accounting? It doesn't have to be an ongoing thing. So some say that it should be every half a year. You should make this accounting, and others hold up to a year, year by year. And the proper time to do it, really, you could decide. Some say the proper time to do it is Erev Rosh Hashanah. But Erev Rosh Hashanah is not really the time that a person has time to start making the cheshbonos of his meiser. So you can pick a time in the year that is the cutoff point, right? Because we'll see that losses and gains in one year, you can be mekazeis, you can cancel out, but not from one year to the other. So he has to have a time when it's a new year. So you can decide pretty much, right? Again, some people have the minig to make that time Erev Rosh Hashanah. If Erev Rosh Hashanah is not a time for you to get involved in those kind of things, so can make it some other time in the year. And the reason the Erev Rosh Hashanah, because it says the Rosh Hashanah, a person's judged on what he's going to make during the year, so it's a good time to work out your accounts before Rosh Hashanah comes in. Okay, but you should...
Does that just mean clearing it all? Like when we say, do it Erev Rosh Hashanah, it means...
No, it means you come, yeah, and you...
Because you're constantly, money comes in, you meiser it, and then...
Yeah, but you don't have to, right, but you don't have to take off that money. You don't have to take off that money as it comes in. You can wait and take it at the end of the year, if you want to, in a lump sum. Right, if there are aniyim who are around, then you should give it like that. Whatever is more convenient, you can do it like that. Okay, but if you don't do it, if a lump sum, it's difficult sometimes to know when to when you can cancel things out or not. Okay, when you have a profit, okay, a significant profit, then you should take it off You not wait till the end of the year or whatever, take it off and give it to Aniyim so they benefit from it faster than waiting till the end of the year. Okay. Okay, now let's say you have a loss. Okay, you had a gain and then you had a loss. So sum total, it's not a full gain. Right? Let's say you gained, you earned 200 shekel and you lost 100 shekel. You get a loss of 100 shekel. So your only money they have to take off meiser is the 100, because you only had 100 shekel gain, because the loss offset it. For instance, in what's it called, you had stocks and you sold them and you made money on these stocks and made 200 shekel profit, and then you sold some other stocks and you lost 100 shekel. So in the same year you can be mekazeis the loss and the gain. Right, and your total gain was only 100 shekel, not 200 shekel. And so there is an opinion that says that you can only cancel things out if they happened together. In other words, you had, when you made the cheshbon in the middle of the year, you made the cheshbon, you already took off the profit, you took off what's it called from your 200 shekel profit 20 shekel. Right, and designated from ICER, and then next month you had 100 shekel loss. Some people hold you can't take that off anymore, since you're already separating the ICER, you can't balance it out. Another soul knows, as long as it's in the same year, you can cancel it out, and that's pretty much how we hold. As long as it's in the same year, even if you separated the ICER, you already gave 20 shekel ICER, but now what's it called? You had 100 shekel loss. So the next profit you have, you'll take off 10 shekel because you lost 10 shekel meiser wise. Okay. Okay, however, pretty much everybody holds that once you make a date, that's the line of demarcation between your year of meiser, whatever that date may be, a gain in one year and a loss in another year can't be balanced out. Okay. Next thing, this I just saw the Sefer. I think I bought it, but I don't remember now. It's a two halakim of Sefer on the halachas of checks. How you look at checks? That be all the halachas. Can you give a check for, you know, for what's it called, matonas levyonim or whatever? What about checks that are dachui? What are they called? Post-dated checks or whatever. In any case, shadows of a check has a din of money, or a check doesn't have a din of money. Certain things it does, certain things not. What happens if in the year of your meiser you got a profit but a post-dated check? So you count it when you got the check, or do you count it when it's due? Now, one of the differences would be, can you sell that check? So normally you can take a post-dated check, I mean big checks, and you can sell it to somebody for a lesser amount, right? And they'll buy the check from you for what's it called, for a lesser amount. Okay. Now there's a little bit, right? In other words, I'm willing to wait 5 months to cash this check, right? And I'm buying a $10,000 check for $9,500. Right. If there's no achrayis, if in the end I, what's it called, cash a check and it bounces, I can't come back to you, which is a little crazy, then what's it called, there's no ribis involved. I bought a check and it's mine now and I take the risk. If there's achrayis, meaning if the check bounces, I'll make good on that, right, then it could be ribis. Because basically what I'm doing, I'm loaning you money, right, that you wouldn't have, and I'm, what's it called, you're paying me extra for the loan. So, and it's a guaranteed thing. You've got to, you get back your original amount no matter what. So then it could be a problem. But if, barring that, right, that's pretty much the difference. If the check is not negotiable till it's cash and you can't sell it, there's no way to sell it, it's not a big enough check, whatever, then you don't count it on your year of meiser until it's cash, until you have it. Or till you could cash it. Then it's considered like cash. And therefore, if it came due in the next year and you had losses in this year, you can't balance out the losses with that profit to new year. If, on the other hand, you could sell the check, it's a big enough check that you could sell, then the check is considered, or at least the benefit you got from that check is considered, even if you didn't sell it, but you could, it has a value, It's worth $9,500 now. It's not worth $10,000, but it's worth $9,500. You can offset the $9,500 gain with a loss that you had that same year. Okay, even though the check didn't come due. Next, a person, what's it called, had a loss that wasn't like in stocks or something like that, but he had something in his house went bad. His washing machine went bad. He bought a new washing machine. So that was part of his nechassim, part of his, but it wasn't something that he had profit on that he lost in this year, just something that he had all the time. And it, so somehow you can't take that off your sum total of earnings, because that's not really a loss in earnings. That's a loss in something that you, I don't know what it's called, but there's a word for it. Whatever. So, and others hold that you could. If you have your washing machine goes and you have to buy a new one, so that's called a loss. So if you made $1,000 profit in that year and $500 you had to buy a new washing machine because you lost, that's called a loss, and you only have to take Maaser now from $500, not from $1,000. Okay. Because you can balance that out.
How do we go?
Okay. Well, in all these cases, Lakula. Okay, because again, since it's only a minig, we take on that when people agree to do it, they do it manas that it can be makel. As you give out tzedakah during the year, you should keep a record of it. So you'll know in the end of the year if you gave more than you really have to give, right? And then could be you could carry that over to the next year. That you could do. If you gave more in one year, in your fiscal year, you gave more tzedakah, meiser-wise, than you had to give, right? You had $20,000 gain, profit, and you had to take out from that $200 tzedakah. And you gave $400 tzedakah that year. So you can carry over $200 on the next cheshbon and deduct it from what's it called, from the money you have to give for the next year. Okay, so that you can carry over. If you gave out more meiser the year before than you had to, you can deduct it from the meiser you have to give the next year.
Can you do that all the time? Like if you keep if you don't do it yearly, if you do it each thing at a time, if you have.
Well, how will you know if it's more if you don't stop it sometime?
If you've you've given more than. You needed to. You
of what? To up till that point?
Yeah.
Yeah, then you don't have to. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
What about tattoo rates?
Well, basically, what you did is you gave a mikdama. Can't forget my English.
Advance.
There's another. Yeah, whatever. What's it called? Advance.
Advance.
On the tzlacha. So you don't have to give it again. You gave it advance. So you that you can balance out with what you. Should give now, but you gave it already.
I've heard once something about that you can't count, you can't give something that.
Yeah,
you
that's
didn't.
According to the opinion we said before that the losses and have to come at the same time. If you already gave out that meiser, can't mikaze. But this is pretty much muskum that if you gave more meiser, you can take it off even for another year. Okay.
What about tax rebates?
That we get yet. That's the gabi and what you have to take maaser from is a different parrot. We'll
I think I'll give him $100, but I'll get $35 back from the government.
Yeah, somebody asked me about that. Who was Barney? Ellie Hazel. Yeah, Ellie Hazel. What did we come out with in the end?
I was wrong.
that is for sure. Shiloh was, what did I say? What did you say?
In the end, what you said is you just had to give Meiser on that amount of money.
Right.
In other words, if you gave $100 to Tzedakah and the government has a setup where they give you 35% of that back, so at the end of the year, the government gives you $35.
You got a present, right. They gave you a present.
So what I have to give Meiser on $35 I got now. That's a move I made up. But what I argued was that I didn't give $100 to the yeshiva. I gave... $65 to the yeshiva, and I forced the government to give $35 to the yeshiva. But the mice
that's not the way it is.
The mice I only took $65 out of my pocket.
Yeah, because because if the government doesn't end up giving you the money, you're still not going to go back to the yeshiva and say, "I want my $35 back."
That's not true.
Well, you're not going to get it anyway.
No, no. That's a personal thing. A lot of times, somebody comes to your door and say, "Can you give me $100?" And you say, "You have a tax number."
You're going to go back to that guy and say, "I'm sorry, but the government didn't honor your thing. I want my money back."
No, but if he didn't have a tax number, you wouldn't have given him the cash to begin with.
That's a different story. But if you gave it to him, right, even with a tax number, and then you found out that the government changed its mind and decided not to give any more, you're not going to go back to the thing. It's a present. That's all. The government gave you a present.
Okay, yeah, but people don't give donations if there's not a tax number.
Yeah, yes or no. They don't give less exactly as much as I would have gotten back for. They don't think that's a cash bonus. Unless they're, you know, giving tremendous amounts of money.
I don't know. I think my understanding from David and Yaakov and Abedra is that people don't give to like us. They give it to Colin here and there, wherever, because we don't have a number to provide for them.
Don't we have a number?
Not yet.
Oh, I thought we did. Okay.
You have to get one.
Okay. Okay.
According to U.S. law, I don't need a tax file number because if it's a shul, it's a yeshiva, something like that. But they typically file tax file numbers, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Even if you don't have a number.
I don't
think so.
Up to a certain amount, maybe.
Up to a certain amount, up to like $250, you can write anything.
Yeah. Okay. What happens if you see that there's nobody coming to get the money? Right. It doesn't happen too often. And what's it called? And you have an excess of monies that you have separated for Meiser, right? So can you use that money for yourself, and like loan it, borrow it, and when somebody will come, you'll pay it back and give it to them. So as long as you know that you'll have the money available when somebody will come, you can use that money for, you can borrow it on yourself, as long as you, when somebody comes, you give it to them. And it's better, though, to look, what's it called, to put it at the side and have it ready, because otherwise something could happen and you'll have a shortfall when the Ani's there and you won't have the money to give him because you used it for something else.
How's that possible?
What do you mean, how's it possible?
You don't know, maybe it could be the next day someone's going to come. So if you're borrowing it, if you have the money, so why are you borrowing it? It doesn't make sense.
No, you figure that, you know, what's it called, nobody's coming. Somebody's come the next day, you give him a small amount anyway. But no big thing is going to come, you know, that you're going to need that money. When something big will come, you'll be able to prepare and then get that money back. Or you have the money in savings or whatever. You don't want to take it out of the savings now because you're earning interest on it. So you'll take it out when you have the money to cover it, but you don't want to take it out of where you have it. So you want to use this. That's also possible. Right?
No, but it should be expecting.
Ask a financial advisor, and he'll tell you.
No, it could be that you know that the big influx of Mishlachim come like between Purim and Pesach. So by Hanukkah time, you want to borrow $100 from your Meiser envelope, and you know you're going to have some other money. You'll marshal me back before Purim. That's the heavy time Mishlachim comes. Take a long.
And in between Hanukkah and Purim, and in between Sukkot and Hanukkah.